But first, how about a quick game of Name That Movie? Which Christmas classic is this clip from?
Imagine. Making a child take something it doesn't want just because he bought too many of the wrong toys. That's what I've been fighting against for years, the way they commercialize Christmas.
Well, if you guessed Miracle on 34th Street, give yourself a candy cane and some eggnog. That, of course, is one of many Christmas movies. Not to mention that there are many movies that refer to Christmas in some way. Films like Moonstruck and Diner and Lethal Weapon. According to Mark Connelly, the reason that the American Christmas is known around the world is because of the movies. Connelly's the author of Christmas at the Movies, Images of Christmas in American, British, and European Cinema. He told Steve Paulson why Christmas is such a popular subject for films.
I think Christmas works well in films, largely because it's a kind of embodiment of everything we're interested in films. A good film often tells you something generic about the human nature and human relationships. And Christmas is, of course, a time when that's sort of concentrated. People see their families more, they think about their relationships, they think about what time has done to them. So I think Christmas scenes fit very nicely into films. It's kind of, an encapsulation of what people expect from movies.
If we look back at the history of the movies, when did filmmakers really start making films about Christmas?
Oh, from the earliest days. There are numerous silent versions of Scrooge. There are a good 20 or so up until the Great War, which were largely based upon late 19th century theatrical adaptations, where some bits of the plot had been moved around. And you can also see some of the very flimsy, but rather clever for the time, special effects. And there are all sorts of things like "Twas the Night Before Christmas" is turned into a silent film with many of the original poetic couplets on screen as titles. There's an English poem which was very popular in late 19th century England, "Christmas in the Workhouse."
But you write that World War II really kick-started the whole tradition of the modern Christmas movie.
Oh, indeed. And I think as soldiers found themselves scattered across the globe in theatres of war that took them well away from where they were born, where their families were from, that the Christmas film became more and more important as a reminder of the routines of home, of, in fact, what they were fighting for as well. You certainly see that in some of the wartime films where there is the symbolism of Christmas. And, of course, it does grow after the Second World War. I think that there is that point as the world changes, as its economy changes, as its society changes, which has tended to fragment family life, Christmas becomes more and more important in visual terms as a reminder of home, as a symbol of routines which comfort people.
Now, of course, one of the central characters of a lot of Christmas movies is Santa Claus, and there have been all kinds of different renditions of Santa. Can you give me some sense of the range, of the variety?
Oh, it's truly amazing. Of course, in some ways, you do see a prototype Santa Claus in the film versions of A Christmas Carol. The Ghost of Christmas Present is very much a precursor of what the modern Father Christmas has become. But you've got weird things like Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, you know, a wonderful spoof of the 1960s, which involves all sorts of trips to Mars and making sure that the Earth Christmas can survive. And it runs through things like Ernest Saves Christmas, where Father Christmas looks as if he's about to go into retirement in Florida and can he be saved? And then to the more traditional understandings of it, which you'll see in things like Miracle on 34th Street.
And there's I suppose one of the appeals of these movies is for a society that's becoming more cynical to bring up Santa Claus and all the wonder that he represents to reaffirm Santa's presence and benevolence is, a sign of hope generally.
Oh, absolutely. Santa Claus is almost a figure that's allegorically similar to Christ. You know, he delivers gifts for other people almost unconditionally, although, of course, most parents will use him as a warning to their children to be good. But Santa Claus in films is a completely universal figure. He brings hope and love to all, where it doesn't matter if it's a broken family or a nuclear family. He spreads his warmth and beneficence overall, and it's full of unconditional love. That's what Santa Claus seems to provide, not just in cinema, but more generally. So I think he's intimately linked with all sorts of Christian symbolism and therefore is an intimate part of the Christmas festivity.
Now, one thing that's curious about one of the best-known Christmas movies, Miracle on 34th Street, both the 1947 version and then the remake, is that Santa is played by a British actor in both versions.
Yes, indeed. Considering the depth of association that Santa Claus has with American culture, American society, everybody knows that it's an American illustrator that produces the first modern, accepted, broadly accepted versions of Santa Claus. And yet, in these films, as you say, English actors have done that. I think that's actually a tribute, really, to the power of Charles Dickens and some sort of English authorial voice in Christmas. And that somehow that the measured tones of an actor like Edmund Gwenn or Richard Attenborough do add a certain authenticity to these things. The yo-ho-hoing, as it were, should be done with some sort of home counties south-east of England accent.
Somehow a little removed from ordinary American culture gives it more weight, I suppose.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, far removed from the North Pole as well. I'm not quite sure what North Pole English accents are like, but I doubt if it's something like that. But, I do think there is that element in which Santa Claus is, in fact, becoming almost akin to a reinvigorated Dickens as well, that there is that same kind of literary element that's coming through when you have an English actor playing Santa Claus.
Now, one of the underlying theme of some of these Christmas movies is they're, in a way, about our consumer culture. A Miracle on 34th Street, I suppose, is a good example.
Oh, indeed. That's the flip side of the Santa Claus symbolism. He is, in effect, the world's best salesman for the world's biggest, you know, sort of toy game pastime manufacturers. And there's an encouragement to buy big from Santa Claus, that children expect big presents, expensive gifts at Christmas, and Santa Claus encourages that whole consumer society. And you'll see that in a Disney film like The Santa Claus, you know, where Tim Allen's playing a toy salesman that magically transforms into Santa Claus, and then goes through the whole debate, though, as to the symbol of what Santa Claus is meant to provide for the children of the world. Is he there just to bump up the profits of big toy corporations, or does he have a spiritual element too? Sometimes in the films, I think it becomes a little ambiguous. You're not quite sure. There's the marvellous moment in the original of Miracle on 34th Street where Kris Kringle remarks,
"But don't you see, dear, some children wish for things they couldn't possibly use, like real locomotives or B-29s.
But this isn't like a locomotive or a B-29.
It's awful big for a little girl like you. What could you possibly do with a house like this?
Live in it with my mother.
But you've got this lovely apartment.
I don't think it's lovely. I want a backyard with a great big tree to put a swing on and... I guess you can't get it, huh?
I didn't say that. No. Well, it's a tall order. But I'll do my best. May I keep this picture?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Good night, sir.
Good night, Mr. Kringle.
And you do have this material culture aspect permeating through the films.
Do you find some movies that are critical of capitalism? I mean, with their portrayal of Santa Claus?
There are very few, really. You tend to see more of that in European films. There's a French film, Will It Snow for Christmas, which overturns many of the ideas of a traditional Christmas, and it's about a family that is totally collapsing in on itself and sort of rejecting all the symbols of a traditional Christmas. I think actually European film has perhaps been a little bit more cynical than Anglo-Saxon, partly because the Anglo-Saxon world has almost sort of overtaken the ownership of the festival of Christmas.
In one of the essays in your book, one of your contributors, Jonathan Munby, writes about Frank Capra's It's a Wonderful Life. And he describes that film as a retelling of A Christmas Carol from Bob Cratchit's point of view.
Yes, yeah, I think it can certainly be read like the little man that's so important in some ways to A Christmas Carol, but you hear very little about because things are done to him. Scrooge is bad to him, then Scrooge is good to him. And so you never really see the world through Cratchit's eyes, although he's this important agent of change in Scrooge's life. In It's a Wonderful Life, it's totally reversed, where you see the ordinary guy, the clerk, that represents so many of us, our frustrations with the world, how we can't change it, we seemingly can't change it for good, and we sometimes wish ourselves out of the rat race. And I think that's a brilliant film. It's A Wonderful Life, but for equating the ordinary man on screen with the ordinary man with his family in the cinema or now watching it on a television screen.
So many people have different takes on It's a Wonderful Life. I have a friend who loves that movie, mm-hmm. above all others. It's his favorite movie in the world, and others see that as just kind of this saccharine thing that pops up every year on TV. What's your take on It's a Wonderful Life?
I think it suffers because of the cliche that's grown up that it's completely saccharine. Yes, it has a happy ending, you know, and what's wrong with that? But in order to get to that happy ending, my goodness me, you go through a lot of soul searching, a lot of darkness. It's not a sucked sugar stick. You know, for Christmas, that film, it really does make you think about life, death, your role in the world, the nature of good and evil, the nature of human memory, and how things can very easily be either erased or rewritten. And so I think people tend to remember just the last few scenes and don't think about, you know, the bulk of the film that's gone before, which is very challenging and hard-hitting. And indeed, I know friends of mine, they showed it to their little children last year, and their little kids were really shocked by it and sort of found it hard to deal with because it was so dark.
Clarence! Clarence! Help me, Clarence! Get me back! Get me back! I don't care what happens to me! Get me back to my wife and kids! Help me, Clarence, please! Please! I want to live again! I want to live again! I want to live again! Please, God, let me live again!
Mark Connolly is the author of Christmas at the Movies, Images of Christmas in American, British, and European Cinema. He spoke with Steve Paulson.